Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's 6 p.m., and this is the Sunday show on Here's the Monsters Radio. My name is Gwen. I'm with you from South Florida and up in Minneapolis. We have Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post. And in Maryland, we have home again in Maryland, we have Wayne Johnson, the life and minds and times of Wayne Johnson. Okay, guys, you see how well I'm doing. I'm pedaling as fast as I can. But I will guarantee you this. I am not as backward as the man sitting in the White House. So,
oh, my God.
May we begin with the ridiculousness of having someone in your White House, this has never been done before, writing an op-ed for the New York Times. And I'll guarantee you, Jack, you and I both know this. I don't know if you've worked for a paper, but I have. But, you know, journos go through school when I was back in school. The New York Times, man, that was the masthead you wanted. If you got a byline in the Times, well, you made it.
The failing New York Times?
Integrity and due diligence. And I'll tell you what, when they thought about going to print on that op-ed, it was not just editorial, it was publisher and board and every lawyer sitting in the room with them.
Herbert Bernstein.
Well, it's not every day that a high up administration official decides to anonymously, got him as bad as Trump, spill the beans on the president and his, because he's so tight-lipped about everything and he hates the press. So that was big news just in itself. Even the phone call would have created headlines, you know?
Well, I have to ask you, gentlemen, what do you think of a person who hides behind the sheet like that? You know, pay no attention to this man behind the curtain kind of style. And publishes like that. I found a large measure of cowardice in it myself.
Well, I'm not that quick to dismiss it that way. I've heard people talking about that on the air a little bit. But, you know, on one hand, there's a certain amount of you have a certain amount of leeway when you work in the White House. It gives you a certain amount of your own power, even though technically you're powerless. You're just an employee of the president. But it gives you the wherewithal to get into all kinds of other things, too. So it's not the type of job that you just go, oh, to hell with you, then I'm going to quit. You know, you don't approach it that way. At least that's the way I look at it. And for that reason, I can understand why the person wanted to be anonymous. Another thing is you're dealing with a guy that is not quite right in the head. He's not going to pull out a gun and start shooting people. But on the other hand, he's so cantankerous and so hard to get along with. I mean, nobody can get along with that asshole. And so I can understand where you don't want to, you know, stir up his wrath. So there are a number of ways to look at it, but you know, and President Obama raised the point about when his address, he raised the point about it's not that good of a move to have your own underlings, you know, hiding orders on you, hiding papers on you, so you can't sign them. You know, that's not a healthy situation. That would be bad in business. It's bad anywhere.
And I would say, to follow up on Jack's thought, is I would put it up there along with the Pentagon Papers that were anonymously passed on, which the country needed to know what was really going on in the Nixon administration. Plus two is we have Deep Throat, who really divulged and made it known the corruption that was in the Nixon White House. If it had not been for, like, those two examples in the the early 70s, you know, who knows what might have happened. So I just see this as, for those of us who lived through the Watergate, Nixon, years. This is a deja vu. This is history repeating itself.
I agree.
I don't know if I see it that way, gentlemen, but I see where you're coming from.
All right, go ahead. You can work then.
I don't think we've ever, I believe that we are in the midst of a constitutional crisis. And whether or not you want to say it is or it isn't, just take a look around. I mean, we've got a guy sitting in Senate hearings, and the damn Republicans damn well know he's lying.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting ready to confirm him to the highest court of the land. He can be impeached, by the way. So can Garland. You've got Democrats, the status quo Democrats, who are kind of waking up and shuddering a bit now, saying all of these progressives and all these different candidates beating the status quo in the primaries, and they realize, I think, that Pelosi and the rest of the crew all the way into the Senate realize that the Democratic voters and the independents, who usually follow Democratic lines, are sick and tired of it. They've had it, and they want action.
Well, this go-along-to-get-along shit has got to go out the window. It's not done a damn thing for anybody, and all it's done is enable Republicans who are continually enabling Trump. So, you know, it's time for the Democratic politicians and the independents-leaning Democratic to stand on their feet and start shouting and making noise. And that's a healthy sign that so many progressives are winning open seats across the country. This isn't just one area. It's across the entire country. They're trouncing these go-along-to-get-along Democrats who have got to be – they've just got to be – you know, put out of there, because they're not acting like a real opposition party.
Well, and you have status quo support for a lot of these old status quo Democrats. It's going to have to shift. If President Obama is going to go and support status quo Democrats, he has to be, we have to hold him up. That ain't gonna work, buddy. That's
right.
Your thing. You know, I think he realizes, because he's decided to take back the mic, I think he realizes what kind of trouble we're in. I think he sees the opportunity of a great change here. Because in the end all, we have the opportunity to change things, really change.
Yes, I see a big cultural wave, or at least the rumblings of a big cultural wave coming out of all this.
Good point. This reminds me a lot of 1974, that congressional election where the Democrats won very heavily in reaction to Nixon, and you know, that later on that year he resigned, of course, and maybe we'll be blessed with the same thing with Trump this year, this next coming year. Let's hope so, but who knows? But in the meantime, it looks a lot like 1974. The people are just overwhelmingly supporting Democrats and liberal Democrats or progressives. That's a good sign.
Well, right.
Well, I guess so. It seems to be going along that way a bit. But what's the next shoe that's going to drop? I mean, you think that Trump is going to begin purging people again this week?
Well, he's on a rampage right now. He is so paranoid. He's so, you know, and you got Kellyanne Conjob on the network news making all kinds of noise in support of him. She is pathetic. She's a liar too. But and Rudy Giuliani's out there just trying to get notoriety for himself. You know, what a bunch of clowns, man. They are unbelievable. What a horrible group. We have the best people. No, you don't. You have the worst people of all time, Trump.
The best people? Where do you get that from? He's fired over 30 people.
I know. He's whittling through them all right now. They weren't good to begin with.
An oxymoron.
Yeah.
And then Wayne is telling me that Senator Orrin Hatch has sent a letter to the White House.
Sent a letter to Trump himself, yes, saying
great.
That needs to cease and desist this idiocy of are bluntly throwing out tariffs and enacting orders to immigration and to separate children from their families.
Oh God!
To this country here, he said that basically, if he doesn't stop immediately, they are going to remove his powers. Quote unquote.
I love it. I love it, and that's got to have Trump just shitting in his pants. He's in rage and in fear. You know.
Yeah.
What a pathetic guy.
He is shaking with anger.
Oh, I bet he's just frothing at the mouth. Maybe he'll have a stroke or something. Who the hell knows?
Well, my wife's waiting for all of his hair to fall out. Forget that comb over. She just wants to. Like a steady Shetland pony in the middle of the summer, you know?
Good God. Yeah, he'll wake up one morning and he'll look just like Rick Scott. Oh, my God, help us.
So, and, of course, the other thing, too, we were talking about, you know, the immigration, his mandates of immigration.
Oh, that's insane, too.
Those who are on the agricultural boards, within government, the senators and the congressmen under that, they're also making moves to the White House, sending letters to stop the tariffs because it's destroying the agricultural industry in this country, for no benefit at all. And the other thing, too, and then this is a personal aspect, because I'm here on the Delmarva Peninsula, the peninsula that separates Chesapeake Bay from the ocean, where, you know, the most acclaimed Chesapeake Bay blue crab can be found, the connoisseur of all crab meat.
Uh-huh.
Well, because he has limited the immigration aspect, and these picking houses are needing the migrant workers, the seasonal workers, I should say, to come and pick the crabs that the watermen have caught and processed into, you know, the pound of crab meat and stuff. Well, because of the limitation of the immigration of the migrant workers required, there's large packing crab houses on the bayside here in Dorchester County, and that's where my farm is, west of Cambridge, Maryland. Phillips was the big family name for crab picking houses. He was on PBS, NBR, Nightly Business Report on PBS in Columbus, Ohio, talking about how because of Trump's policies and there's no local work because local people want jobs that have retirement, medical, you know, the benefits that, you know, basically a lot of people need. And, they're not interested in these, you know, just the seasonal work. They need full-time work to support their families in this economy. And the Phillips man himself, he's a descendant of the original, probably grandson now running it, but he said that, well, he has good news and bad news about what Trump has done. Bad news is he's made zero money this year because he's had nobody to pick the crabs that the watermen are trying to catch. But the good news is his taxes are going to be real easy because your earned income, zero, amount of taxes owed, zero.
Yeah.
So that's my tax return.
Hey, share with us what you told us before the show, Wayne, how it's adversely affected the price of crab meat that you buy.
Last year I could have gotten a pound of back fin crab meat, which is, you know, the big, large lump. It's
mm-hmm.
the most coveted.
The tasty thing, yeah.
You want, right? The big lumps of crab meat. It would have been $20, $25 last year. I just bought a pound of it this year. There's one crab house at the mouth of the bay in Virginia that has found some, you know, people picking it, local people, and it cost me $40. So last year, what was $20 to $25 is now $40 plus.
Yeah, that's not sustainable. That can't last.
Winning, Jack? I'm confused. I thought we were winning. I'm going to be so winning, I'm going to be tired of winning.
The cost of my essential
is gone
because of these tariffs.
The cost of what?
My essential oils has gone up because of these tariffs. I buy from outside the country. And
yeah.
I mean, I used to be able to buy rose out of Egypt for a very decent price. Now it's double.
There you go. Perfect example. So, and the thing is, now let's go back to history here because I love doing this. Benjamin Harrison. He would have been the grandson of Tippecanoe and Tyler II, William Harry Harrison. Well, he did not win the popular vote. He beat, I think it was Garfield, in 1889.
Or was it Cleveland? It might have been. He might have been Cleveland.
Cleveland, right, Grover Cleveland. I'm sorry, thank you, Jack. Yes, Grover Cleveland. And but, again, did not win the popular vote. It was the electoral vote that he won on. He enacted, we're going to make America great again and stuff, and enacted all kinds of tariffs, destroyed the whole U.S. economy, and within 4 years when they passed out in the next election and returned Cleveland back into the office.
Right.
Right. It took a full decade for the United States to get back those foreign customers and vendors that they once had before Harrison destroyed the economy with his.
Well, I hope if there are any Trump supporters out there listening right now, they'll realize that this guy is not a smart businessman. That's the myth. That guy has no clue how to run anything. He's bankrupted his own business 4 times, and he got $1 million from his daddy to start it up, and he still couldn't keep it afloat. You know, there's something radically wrong with this guy. Aside from lying constantly, he's just not that good, period.
He's not
and, and this is what we're going to see this coming down the pipe.
You can tell
that
he is not that smart.
Right.
You can tell because the guy has such a limited vocabulary, and he can't come up with any kind of adjective that will bring home his point of view. I mean, it's really pretty awful to listen to him. The other thing is that his border wall, all the crap they're going on through down there, it's still going on. And it threatens to end Texas families who have owned ranches for over 250 years. It ends a lot of their property dominion. And can you say Beto O'Rourke? I mean,
I hope so. I hope he can knock off Cruz. Cruz is in political trouble down there, as he should be.
Well, they're running neck and neck.
Yeah. I hope he can swing it and beat him. That would really be an incredible coup d'etat, really.
Well, and right now in the House is another one of Trump's tax bills, and it's not getting full compliance by the Republicans.
Good.
The ones that are at risk are saying no to.
That's good.
There's another thing that came up that I, in my research this week, prepping for the radio show here, is it looks like we have elements within our government trying to work with the military in Venezuela to do a military junta coup down there. This is why I was sent to Chile and Argentina, was to prop up those oppressive atrocities committed to the population of Pinochet in Chile and the military junta of Argentina. I saw firsthand, or knew of firsthand, I really should say, of the atrocities that had been committed to the population in the name of obedience with those military juntas, and they're trying to do the same thing. This president, this administration, is looking to do the same thing in Venezuela.
Well, now that the Venezuelan president has been deceased now for a few years, and the economy is running into some hurdles down there, I don't know how much of it has been caused indirectly by the U.S. or directly by the U.S., but at any rate, they're having their problems. And I think right-wing forces in this country and down there see an opportunity to take control. And the worst thing in the world would be to replace that with a right-wing military junta. Like you were saying, Wayne, we know how that rolls.
What's going on down there? It's much worse than that, Jack. Over 200,000 people are fleeing the country just to find food. People are starving.
It's really gotten bad. Yeah, good point.
When I looked at that, American Electrical Power, I can say it now because I'm not working there anymore. American Electrical Power there in Columbus. I had a coworker who was from Venezuela. His parents are still there. His brother has the family cabinet shop down there. They are expecting, like, to give you an example and put it in parallel here. When I was in Argentina, they had 1,000% inflation rate under that military junta. To put it in perspective real quick, if a loaf of bread cost you $1 in January, by December it cost you $10.
Yeah, that's terrible.
This is his own words that he got from his own family down in Venezuela. They are expecting 1,000,000% inflation rate.
Oh, no, that's unsustainable. That's revolution causing right there. That will bring on a military junta, and we can't have that. They've got to get some stability down there. They've got to prop up that government somehow or enable it to do its job and feed its people.
We got to leave them alone is what we've got to do.
And not interfere. Right, not interfere. I agree.
That's what we've got to do. I have a question for you, Jack.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Nike with Colin
Kaepernick?
With Kaepernick. What do you think?
Good move by Nike. Good for you, Nike. I'm glad you took a stand. You took a moral stand. And the poor guy's been drummed out of football. That was unfair. And all the right-wingers out there just, oh, yeah, Trump was right. Yeah, he was against the flag. No, Colin Kaepernick was only trying to protest the propensity for police in this country to murder black civilians, many of them unarmed. And they shoot first and think later when it comes to black people. And Colin Kaepernick was taking a stand against it just by kneeling instead of standing during the national anthem.
And what he started out doing was just sitting it out, but then he spoke to a military person. And this Marine suggested to him he do what all service people do. That's take a knee. It's called taking me.
And all of a sudden now he's anti-flag, he's anti-country, he's been pariahed, and that's not right. That's absolutely unnecessary, it's unjust, and it doesn't belong anywhere in this country.
The message that Kaepernick is putting out through Nike and what Nike is saying is so needed right now.
Absolutely.
I will sacrifice everything for what I believe in. And that's
absolutely
that is needed right now.
Good for Nike. They're a major player in the athletics market, man. And good for them. And I'm glad they're doing that. It's gonna get some notice. And, of course, Trump's all over it, and it's bad, and Kaepernick's bad, and he's anti-American and all this bullshit you hear out of Trump all the time.
Well, let me interject here real quick. Yes, the conservatives on Wall Street, the stock dropped. But the online sales of Nike shoes has increased a full third.
Cool.
People are in favor of what they're doing. They're proud of the stand, and the sale of their shoes have taken off.
Great.
My friend who's running, Bobby Wheatley, who's running for the state senate in Delaware, he'd be a delegate, senator of Delaware in Dover there, graduated summa cum laude from business from Salisbury University. He and I were talking, and I said, you know, a business like Nike had already done their market research of cause and effect of what they, you know, by supporting copyright thing, of supporting him and this marketing campaign. They knew that the sale of their product was going to increase in their marketing research.
That's
the result of America.
Excuse me. It's up 37% in the day today since it's come out.
There you go. I was saying
buy Nike, people. Buy Nike.
There's the other thing.
Yeah. My wife went to Dick's and bought a Nike shirt. There.
Great.
There's another thing that's going on right now, the return of President Obama to the stage.
Yes.
It is nice to hear eloquence and statesmanship again.
And cogent thought.
How about intelligence? Just plain talking intelligence.
Right.
Well, it can be inspiring to the Democrats, but it's also making the Republicans happy because so many Republicans who basically think Trump is an idiot don't like Obama.
Well, they weren't going to vote for anybody anyway in that aspect, even though they couldn't stand Trump. It'll be the hell with the country. I'm going to vote my own pocket. You know,
right.
Basically, look, they're getting paid. They're getting cashing in on this. The tax credit that we just handed out. That wasn't a tax credit. All they did was quit collecting taxes to run the country. We are now running $1 trillion. That's with a T. Dollar deficit annually. Now, you know, Joe Blow on the street that thinks he's, you know, a conservative. I'm doing air quotes here, right? I'm getting $40 more a week. No, you're not. You're just accumulating a large-ass debt that you, your children, your grandchildren, maybe great-grandchildren are going to have to be paying off. Meanwhile, when you have someone like the Koch brothers in the upper 1%, they're already hiding, you know, on offshore banks.
Right. And, you know, Wayne, I found it very interesting. Right after Obama first became known that he'd made a big speech, an anti-Trump speech, before Trump even had a chance to react to it, I saw former Bush administration official Nicole Wallace get on the air on her show on MSNBC, and she said, just in passing, they were talking about something, and she said, you know, you wouldn't believe how many Republicans have called me in the last few days saying they wish they had 4 more years of Obama instead of 2 more weeks of Trump. I thought that was hilarious.
Jack, the day that the New York Times op-ed came out, it came out during Nicole Wallace's
While she was on the air, that's right.
And she immediately called Rachel Maddow.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Yeah, they've gotten real close. That's great. I've seen her on Rachel, as a matter of fact.
Well, another thing to say here, too, is congratulations to the Rachel Maddow Show. You know, she just passed the 10-year. I can't believe it. At the
10, my God. And thank you, Keith Olbermann, for bringing her to us.
I mean, yeah. I can't believe it. I remember seeing her come on Keith Olbermann in her sneakers and glasses as Air America, and then coming in to host for him, and it just doesn't seem like 10 years.
I know. God, where's the time gone? And back in those days, we could have never imagined, even in our worst nightmarish dreams, that Donald Trump would somehow occupy the White House. Oh, God, help us.
Well, that's just it. If it hadn't been for the Russian hacking, and they know, the elected election officials in Florida know that, and just like they had a guy, an FBI agent on 60 Minutes saying, you know, going on with the computer, hacking stuff, you leave a fingerprint behind, just like any other fingerprint, breaking into a house and, you know, robbing, you know, handling the doorknob and stuff. They know that the Russians got into the election machines in Florida, Illinois, Wisconsin, and I think Michigan.
And maybe Pennsylvania, too, it could have been.
Right. And the thing, that's the ones they know about.
Right.
But they also know that Trump and those machines were flipping votes. They know that Trump did not win. It was a Russian interference in our election.
That's terrible.
Manipulating the election machines.
That's all the more reason that Democrats have to flood the polls this fall, this November 6th. They have to make it overwhelmingly a Democratic vote to overcome any of this Russian interference.
Exactly, because the Republicans who are in control have done absolutely nothing to try to protect.
Excuse me. You know that midterm voting is up in Democrats by 80%. You know that,
awesome.
Right?
That's great.
I mean,
That's awesome. The more the merrier.
I was going to say, I would like to hear a number more like 100%.
Yeah, I would too.
Only get what you're looking for.
80% pretty well, you know, slams the freaking flyswatter on Republicans. Remember, there are more than double the amount of Democrats in the country than there are Republicans.
That's true. That's very true. And you know, the one of the most encouraging things is the overwhelming majority of these candidates, these new candidates for the Democrats, are women. We're going to see an unprecedented, this will be make that year, that previous year, the women, 92, look like child's play. It's going to be an overwhelming majority of the women winning these seats.
I want to see the women win it because it only makes it better and life is better for hopefully both of my daughters.
Yes.
Because we need the maternal influence and aspects and outlooks in our government, which we have not had.
Not only that, women are the majority of the population by 2 percentage points. For Christ's sakes, if we want to be a majority country, let's start voting that way. Let's start being represented that way.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I take great faith and hope women running for office, getting elected to office, and looking at things much more than the corporate corrupted Republican old white men that are in control now. They have done nothing but destroy this country, particularly more devastating in the last 2 years than at any time in my whole life.
And that's why Trump right now is shitting in his pants at the very thought of being replaced by a woman and the women influence into the Congress overriding his precious bills and his great goofy tax cuts and his border wall and all that nonsense. He's shitting in his pants right now. He can't stand the very thought of it. So good. The more nervous he is, the happier I am.
Same here. Right, exactly.
Well, right now, officially in Washington, by all of the pollsters and stuff, the midterm election, especially for the House of Representatives, is leaning Democrat.
I don't take a lot of faith in the polls because the polls said that Trump could never win the White House.
Right, but he did, yeah.
Russia manipulation and hacking.
Well, when you have an overwhelming Democratic turnout, that will overtake any efforts the Republicans have to jimmy the election in any way. So good, let's get out there, Demis.
The statistics on it. There's key races out there in Arizona, the Republican versus the Democrat, McSally.
The Senate,
it's too close to call. Missouri, it's too close to call with McCaskill's seat, up for grabs, and she's a blue dog.
Well, I hope she gets a little bit bluer, deeper blue, and really spouts off and can pick up some of those people that are on the wandering.
She leans Republican. Keep her seat. She always has. In Florida, this is terrible, but it's too close. Was between Nelson and Scott. In Indiana, it's too close to call. In Indiana, Pence's state is too close to call.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, it's leaning Democrat.
Minnesota will go Democratic. There's no doubt about it.
Montana is leaning Democrat. It's too close to call. In North Dakota, it's too close to call. In Ohio, leaning Democrat. In Tennessee, it's too close to call. In Texas, they're saying it's leaning Republican, and yet on Friday night's news, it was neck and neck. In West Virginia, it's leaning Democrat.
That's incredible. That's what I call a blue wave, and let it get as deep blue as it can, and let it be as pervasive as possible.
Well, being too close to call and leading.
But, I'm still amazed that Indiana had elected a Democratic senator. That just blows me away. And North Dakota, that's just unreal, And I'm not discouraged by that. And I got a feeling Heidi Heit in this blue wave, Heidi Heit camp, will eke out a win narrowly probably over her Republican challenger.
You can only hope, Jack. Only hope.
Let's hope so.
So.
And as I said, the California Republicans are seeing that Obama stepping in as something that works in their favor, but I wouldn't count on that.
No, they're deluded. They're nuts.
And he's telling people that if we don't step up, things are going to get worse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
See, you know, you look at the people at the Obama rallies. They're there. They want to be there, and they're fired up genuinely. The people at the Trump rallies are coached on how to behave and hold the signs this way and do all this stuff. They threw a kid out of there, a teenager, out of one of the Trump rallies because he wasn't enthusiastic enough. Give me a break. What a bunch of phonies.
Now,
well, and the thing,
let's
look at this. When Kim Jong-un killed his uncle because he didn't clap enthusiastic enough, you know, this is North Korea shit.
Yeah, I know. It's insane.
Go ahead, Glenn.
I'm not saying anything. No, Trump's supposed to give written answers. Written answers under oath. That's the only thing that his lawyers will agree to.
Oh, now he's saying that. It's been going back and forth. It's been like a pancake flipping itself. It's just been weird.
Well,
I'll just say, for the sake of this country, the sake of our economic health across the country, things have got to change drastically.
Absolutely. Trump's got to be removed from office. I don't care what it takes. I'm not in favor of assassination. I'll rule that out. But he's got to be deposed. He's got to resign. He's got to quit. He's got to fall off a cliff. I don't care what happens. He's just got to leave the office.
You can see him escorted out in handcuffs.
Yeah, I agree. That would be the best.
Right.
Well, just as things change, they stay the same. I would mention that because it seems to happen a lot. We do have an opportunity with all these progressive and feminine candidates to make some changes on the Democratic
Absolutely.
Side. Although there have been a few hucksters that have moseyed up to the candidacy for in a Democrat way, too. But you get them all the time.
Oh, you do, yeah. It's inescapable. There's always somebody out there that wants to be opportunistic and ride the wave, and they're not really true to the cause. That's unavoidable.
Right.
I don't know if anybody watches tennis, but there was a really unjust call made on Serena Williams yesterday at the U.S. Open.
You what now?
Serena Williams. She had a bad call by an ump at the U.S.
Yeah.
I didn't see the thing, but I saw some recap of it, and I missed it because I think the phone rang or something distracted me, so I didn't. Did she lose her match?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
So give all credit to the Japanese girl that defeated her.
Yeah.
Played a great, mistake-free game.
Mm-hmm.
The judge, the sideline, said that her coach was sending her signals in from the stands into her, which is against the rules.
Right. Oh God.
And now I'll say this, and I did see McEnroe. They were talking with him on this, and he said, there's some people that say, yeah, well, everybody does that. You know, there's always, the coach is always trying to help out and give little notes, hand signals and stuff to his player on the court. And he said, but it's just like, yeah, everybody speeds. But if you get caught, you get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And, now whether or not he really did send her a signal, right, I think he gave her like a two thumbs up, like, you got this, right, kind of an encouragement thing. That's what he saw and considered that as sending her a coaching signal from the stand.
Yeah.
And it was unjust. I don't know if anybody was paying attention to the hearings in the Senate on Kavanaugh, but on Friday, Aaliyah Eastman, who's one of our Parkland students, testified to bring the issue of assault weapons ban up, and she testified to how she stayed motionless underneath a fallen student for a long while that was going on.
Oh, God help her. What an absolute nightmare for her to have to have lived through. And I'm glad she's alive that she can testify. And this Kavanaugh guy is a knucklehead. He's picked by Trump. That's bad enough. But he's so pro-gun, and he's so careful now. He's just not willing to divulge anything. And he's playing it way too safe for my liking. And I just don't like the guy.
Well, he lied. He lied in his first hearing. Yeah, we got that evidence in this hearing. He lied.
Right. Yeah, right.
Exactly. And the thing is, here's the other thing, too. They've got 100 documents. No, I'm sorry, 1,000 documents that would give you an insight to the way he would rule on things, only they aren't being submitted. They aren't even being held. Actually, they've been expunged from the records.
Oh, that's criminal.
Then I saw a comment from one of my friends who said, would he be ruling on a case where he knew over 1,000 documents weren't being presented that were pertinent to the trial? Would he rule on that trial? Of course not. So we want to prove him permanently to the Supreme Court for a lifetime.
Well, this is such a sham that they're allowing, and they dumped like thousands, I mean thousands of pages of documents the night before the hearing started. They dumped those to be reviewed, supposedly. They're not going to be reviewed. Give me a break. And the White House is holding up on other ones.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
that's criminal.
Criminal acts. As I always said when I was fighting political battles back here at home, you know, years ago, I said, if it cannot stand the light of day of scrutiny,
right,
it should not be voted in favor for.
Yes, I agree. I couldn't agree more. And I think this is going to cost the Republicans dearly November 6th. I sure hope it will, because they're behind it. And they're going to try and confirm this guy quickly, because they want a conservative Supreme Court, and he's definitely a conservative. And that is so criminal. And the fact that they wouldn't even consider Obama's last pick, that they never even gave him a hearing, they never even talked to him, that was criminal too.
Yes, that's Mitch McConnell should be brought up somehow for the accountability of that.
Yeah, the constipated turtle should be locked away in the bathroom somewhere for that one.
Exactly. You know, again, don't promote violence, but I think it.
No, yeah. I know where you're coming from, Wayne, but it is pathetic, really, when you think about it. And this is supposed to be a democracy where people really have a say in their government. And not in the Supreme Court, I guess. Not if it's run by the conservative Republicans.
Exactly. So, again.
They're pretty much traitors, and they're still getting out of that.
Right.
The repercussions of the women's civil rights are going to be set back 60 to 80 years. If he gets on there, because it's nothing more than a repressive, misogynistic aspect. Well, he's already said, birth control is nothing more than a chemical abortion.
Yeah, man, he's so wacko on that.
Yet, you know, legally get and not be prosecuted just for simply receiving contraceptives.
Yeah, that's insane too. That is so outmoded. That is. That's unbelievably old-fashioned thinking.
That's idiocy.
And, you know, it's disgusting, too, how the Republicans behind the scenes very deftly have really grabbed a hold of the judiciary element in our government. They've gotten all kinds of lifetime appointments to different levels of the courts approved and through and signed in by Trump. And that's not good. We're not going to see the after effects for that for many years to come, but they're going to be there, and we're going to have to live with them. And what they're doing is they're putting forth young judges who will toe the line, you know, for a long time, and just lifetime appointments. Give me a break. That is not democratic. That's really horror. That's really autocratic. It's terrible.
I agree.
It's gaming the system.
Yes, it is. But people are have been willing to go along to get along, and now we have a constitutional crisis.
We sure do.
This republic is skating on the razor's edge right now. It really is.
Oh.
If you can't see it, then it's a shame. But it should motivate everybody to get out there and register. It should motivate everybody to get to a voting booth.
Absolutely. Now's the time to register, folks. We're well outside of 30 days or whatever most states have. You can still register to vote. Please do so. If you've ever thought about it and just haven't done it for one reason or another, get on your horse and get over to the registration booth and get yourself registered and in so that you can vote this year. Remember, there are people all over the world who wish they had the opportunity to vote, who have no vote because they're trapped in an autocratic country that's run by a dictator. We don't want to become like that. I don't think we will be, but you know, we don't want any overtones like that either. So now is the time to register and vote.
Well, and the thing is this is a point I've made several times, but I think it's definitely worth repeating, is in Ohio, that Republican-controlled government in Ohio,
yep,
if you did not vote in the last election, like you could not go out there and bring yourself to vote for Hillary Clinton and you sure hell weren't going to vote for Trump, they've purged your name off the voting rolls.
Yeah, they have all kinds of tricks.
The court ruled that they don't have to inform you that your name has been purged off the voting rolls. So should you decide to show up and say, we got to get this goofy bastard out of here, Trump, I'm voting, well, guess what? You're not on the rolls to vote anymore.
All it takes
so
is a phone call to your city hall or your city office, and you can get it verified whether you're still on the voting rolls. And you know what? That would be one of the best phone calls you could ever make, people. So put it in your mind and make sure you do it this week.
Right. Make sure you're on the voting rolls.
Yep. And then register. If you're not, re-register. Get on the voting rolls and make sure you vote on November 6th.
It's important.
Agreed. Jack, why don't you tell us about your latest post?
Well, I've been trying to catch up. I had had some illness and I've fallen behind. I share my post with a fellow named Bird Deming out of St. Louis who does wonderful podcasts. And some of them are quite biting, and some of them are pretty informative. He's a great writer, a dear friend, and I've been, for the last 3 years or so, every Monday I will usually start off the week with one of his podcasts, and then I'll post an article myself that I've written on Thursday. And I've stepped up because I fell behind while I was sick there for a little bit, and I had some internet problems too. But those are cured now, so I've been trying to catch up. So I, instead of one of my posts right now, I've got one of his on there, and I'll be doing it every few days. Although on Thursday I'll have another post coming up. But at any rate, you can listen to those podcasts. They're illuminating. Some of them are humorous. They're wonderful. They're full of insights, and they're great. And the current one is. Let's see, I've been doing so doggone many, I forgot now. It has to do with, you know, the way Trump is going around, I don't know, let's see. No, that was my Pinko Commie. He's got one called My Pinko Commie Patriotism. One of his right-wing critics was trying to bring him down, and so Bird refuted the guy. He does it in a gentlemanly way. He's so classic. He's so good. That's one coming up. The current one is, I can't remember what it is, but you can see it at the Saturday Afternoon Post. Just look that up, and you can reach it at www.jodell, jodell53.com. That's where you can get it at, and you can see that there, and on Thursday I'll have one of my posts up, and we're just kind of alternating. And then I think on Saturday or Sunday, another one of his will be up, and then I'll eventually go back to the regular thing of Monday and Thursday. So, in a nutshell, that's where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. But what is the focus of your topics coming up? What are you going to be writing about?
Well, I just finished one called Thumbs Down on Kavanaugh. I despise that man, especially the way he wouldn't even shake the hand of one of the victims of the Parkland shootings hospital.
The father,
Parkland shooter's daughter, or his daughter was killed by that murderous guy in Parkland, Florida, and he wouldn't even shoot his. He turned away from him, and what an arrogant son of a bitch he is. So I'm lambasting that guy. In that one, that was a previous one that I had just a while ago, and coming up, I've got you know how Trump always talks about fake news and all this bullshit, and he's so full of shit. It's called Bring On More of the Fact-Based Fake News, because I want to see more of it. And I go through a lot of reporters on the left and the right who I think are worth listening to and are worth noting. And I spotlight those people, and I just lambast Trump again. So that's coming up.
Who do you spotlight, Jack, real quick? Who would you suggest?
Oh, yeah, let's see. I talk about Ashley Parker. I admire her writing immensely. She's with the Washington Post. Then there's a lady on the she's almost a girl. She's in her late 20s. She's so young, but she has such great insights and great writing. Natasha Bertrand. Who's with The Atlantic. She was previously with Business Insider. And then I've got David Corn in there. He's always been very good. I've seen him on CNN and MSNBC. And then I've got people that I've been seeing lately, let's see, the lady is Joyce Vance, who's a great legal scholar, legal person. She's been on a lot of MSNBC lately. Another guy that's been on CNN, I forget, but he's a legal guy too. And then I talk about Jake Tapper, and he's a pretty smart guy. Oh, and Ari Melber, and then I talk about on the right side of things. I've seen Bill Kristol speaking intelligently lately. I've seen on the right side of things, Peggy Noonan is come in against anti-Trump stuff, which has been very enlightening. And I do a number of left and right people that I spotlight in this upcoming article. It's going to be out next Thursday.
Well, I've been trying to get folks to take a look at. However, I don't post all that much from their sites, but you should go over to Common Dreams and Truth Out or Truth Food.
Yeah, oh, that's good too. Very good.
And another place to put your focus is on the YouTube series of Act Out with Eleanor
Goldfield. She's priceless.
And Lee Camps.
Yeah.
And
you know, we should have both of those back on. It's been quite a while for Eleanor and for Lee Camp. We ought to have them both on again.
Yeah, they're both traveling a great deal, and she's in Europe most of this summer. In fact, she's still over in Sweden right now. So it's kind of just...
She's wonderful. We've had her on twice before, and it's always been great.
Yeah, except for she's only
recently here. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going to shift gears here, talking about the police officer in Texas who
went in the wrong apartment, blows the guy away. Give me a break.
The wrong apartment, and I have to ask, you know, was she drunk? And of course, she walked into the guy's apartment, so because he was black, she instantly pulled out his gun and shot him in his own apartment. She thought she was in her apartment. And she shot somebody last year, but because she was a cop, she does it with immunity.
Immune days are over, I hope.
Yeah, well,
they're bringing her up on manslaughter charges. I hope so, because she deserves it.
You know, again, the courts are going to be lenient because she was a police officer, just got off duty, yada yada. They'll make up some excuse, and I'm sure her lawyer will ask for leniency and consideration, you know, for her duty to the community and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think this is just more evidence of the prevailing gun mindset in this country.
We're gun crazy in this country.
This is an example of it. And, you know, you don't have to be some redneck guy with half your teeth and a fully automatic weapon. You could be a woman with the same, you know, propaganda-infused mentality that the NRA put forth so often.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's about.
I'm very, very sorry for the family of that young man. Oh, he was, you know, like a community leader, you know, religious, helping out through religious humanitarian means. A good man.
Yeah, way too many innocent victims.
Exactly. Because we were talking about Parkland and how Kavanaugh wouldn't take his hand as the father of
a slain student.
Mentally ill person, you know, who was able to get a weapon, and two of them right within a couple of weeks before he decided to go in and shoot up his own school. That's the fact.
It's crazy, yeah. Well, gentlemen, that's our show for this week, because we're up to the end of the hour. If you have any taglines or messages, please give me now.
Yes, everybody, I'm going to urge you to keep pushing forward. We have got to push forward, especially in the elections on November 6th. I encourage you to not vote for conservatives of any stretch, and strictly vote for progressives and people that are in the know and that are paying attention and that are devoted to causes that will benefit society as opposed to corporations.
Right. And, again, I reiterate, it is important to change what is there, because there was a lot of people who did not show up because they could not, you know, bring themselves to vote for it. I'm doing air quotes here. Crooked Hillary, because that's been propagandized out for the last, you know, 30 damn years.
Yeah.
Whether or not you like her or not, she would have been a much, much better president.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the enabling corporate corrupted Republicans that are in that office. If you want any kind of good standard middle class working life, you have to just suck it up and purge out what is there. It's a
well
cancer in this country.
Well put, Wayne.
Thank you.
I thank everybody who's listening in, and I thank my benefactor and co-host, Jack Jodell, and Saturday Afternoon Post, and Wayne Johnson, and Minds and Times with F. Wayne Johnson.
Good job.
We look forward to hearing or to being back with you at 6 o'clock on Sunday next. And thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gwen.
Okay. Oh, this has been the Sunday Show on Hairby Monsters Radio, sponsored by Daughters of Isis, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Thank you for listening.